say come, yeah. Good as an ice tea.
Good morning, everyone. This is Joe Gray with the Seven Generations Radio Show. Great to be with you. Beautiful morning this morning, a rare, cool morning, 5th of July. Unbelievable. I don't think I've experienced one of these for a while. What happened to global warming? Anyway, that song you were just listening to is called Wild Love by Woven Green, and I'm fortunate to have Woven Green in the studio today. Jim and Ashley Cash are here with me and talk about their music and play some for you. And if you'd like to say hello, Jim, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great. Hello. Yeah,
you sounding good?
Hey there.
Hey, Ashley. Hey, got you going. So what have you guys been up to lately? I hear you were out in the mountains of West Virginia at the Cranberry Bogs.
That's right.
Enjoying life.
Yes, we were. We just got back yesterday, as a matter of fact. Had a week of relaxation, meditation, prayer, and just hanging out with Mother Nature, rejuvenating all of that. So it was very restorative, and we spent some time just hanging out a lot by the stream in our campground, which was beautiful. And we read a lot. We just finished reading the book Black Elk Speaks, which
that's a great book. Yeah.
It is.
One of
it
my
is
favorites.
A great book. Yeah, it was awesome. So it was interesting to read that and then come back home into the sort of hoopla of the holiday and the 4th of July and what that all represents, juxtaposed to what went down with the Native Americans.
And it's still going down.
It's still going down. That's right. Yes, and indeed. Yes, indeed.
My my daughter is affiliated with Native American tribe in Canada, and actually she's up in Winnipeg right now. Her mother, day before yesterday, went before a judge in Winnipeg to because she was protesting some activities by a chief who is not responsive to the local folks and actually happens to be a white guy who was adopted into the tribe. And so they had their issues, and she was protesting and got arrested for it. And then she went for sentencing, and they threw it out. And so and the funny thing is the tribal groups in that region nominated her chief. Anyway, so now they have two chiefs in that area. But, you know, Native people... Yeah, they're still having very serious struggles.
They are indeed, and it's sad to see. You know, so many of us are naive, and so much of our education system has left out such a large part of the history and some of the more savage details that went down. And yet, we celebrate holidays like Columbus Day and 4th of July without really having a full, you know, spectrum of what, you know, what that really means to the larger, you know, culture. And the 4th of July is very interesting. There's a lot of nostalgia wrapped up with it. And I certainly, growing up, you know, had a lot of fun with the holiday, you know. And so, you know, but there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of stuff that was left out of the history books on what... The real story behind that, and so, you know, it's interesting that you know what that represents, liberty and equality, and yet, you know, right after, you know, we you know, the 4th of July really became a national holiday, we were still, it was probably some of the most savage period of time that the Native American Indians faced, and George Washington himself, you know, had basically set out to, I think it was, I'm trying to remember the colonel's name, Sullivan, I think is what his name was, and he had specifically, you know, had an agenda to, you know, eradicate the Six Nations and to decimate their lands and to, you know, end their way of life as soon as they could. Meanwhile, we also had the height of slavery happening as well. So, you know,
like you said, a lot left out of the
history. A
lot of misleading information.
Absolutely.
And children grow up with misconceptions.
They do.
You know, it was.
Yeah, and we wave our American flags made from China. So, yeah. You know, there's things that we need to be aware of, and. Yeah, it's understandable and want us to have a holiday to celebrate, you know, happiness and freedom and all that. But we also have to take a larger look at the story here.
And it brings to mind the busloads of immigrant people that they call immigrant people, and they call them illegals. These were the people that occupied this land before we did.
Yeah,
and you know, we call them illegals because they come back to their land, or they travel freely. They want to travel within their land,
yeah.
And you know, we scream at, you know, people stop the buses and scream at the little children, but they're the real Native Americans. You know, they're the people that were here before we were. So
absolutely,
who's illegal?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
This land was taken by force.
Mm-hmm. Sure was.
And on that cheerful note, Ashley, how are you today?
I'm quite well, actually. It was a really nice respite for us to go into, you know, sort of the earth womb of the forest out in the Cranberry, and you know, it gave us a chance to reconnect and unplug. And I think that's something that more and more people are beginning to feel is important. And the more that I've learned to unplug, the more I've learned to listen to my own inner guidance and my inner voice, and I think that really is the gateway to our creativity, and it's very much what, you know, we set forth to do with our music. So I'd like to read a poem that I have here that I put together for the sort of mission statement for Woven Green and our music. It goes like this. Wind, flame, earth, and water, the cosmic core found within. Bless the seed that we are planting. Bathe us and our creations in the green light of healing, charged with unconditional love. As the battle of duality rages on, we find insight in the center of our being. We seek to release the chains of fear that bind us, to unlock the gates of illumination, to take up the seat of our own power and vision. We are Woven Green.
Great. That's nice. Yeah, for some odd reason, I was thinking about something I read the other day about the fact that, you know, what are we here for on this earth? And it was a little bit different take on things because it talked about before we're born, we're in perfection. I guess when we're born, we're in perfection. When we die, we go back to perfection. And while we're here, we're in the mess. We're kind of, this is all imperfect. This is to experience the imperfect. This is to learn to cope with the imperfect. And, you know, it's not like, because a lot of times it's, I think the slant is that we're somehow going to achieve perfection here, and yet here we're wallowing in the mud. We're getting the perfection on both ends. So it was just a different take on things.
Yeah, that's really interesting, you know, because I think it's so deeply seated in our consciousness that, you know, that we are fallen from perfection, that we're sort of cloven in two. We have this dark side and this light side. And, you know, it's a really interesting time to be living in because I think we're really seeing a very stark contrast between a lot of things. You know, there's great joy, there's great suffering, you know, there's great love, there's great hatred, you know, and we have to stand in the midst of that and somehow find a center point where we can offer something in the midst of that. And that's really a choice, you know. We can choose to ignore, we can choose to, you know, tune it out, we can choose to live our truth, and that's what I've chosen.
Well, you know, it's nice. You know, what you were saying, you have to get back to nature to get in touch with your spirituality and to rejuvenate yourself and come back in fresh again. And it's like being reborn over and over again.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's like, I mean, I try when I can to be reborn, you know, as many, as often as possible, hopefully every moment, but, you know, nature is such an important part of that, and we get lost in our daily lives. It's so busy and distracting from that, but it's so good to just take a walk in the woods, and the good that it does for you, it changes your blood pressure, it changes your outlook, your spirituality, and so forth. So, yeah, I totally understand that. I'm curious, Jim, you do most of the writing for the music, right?
Mm-hmm.
And could you talk a little bit about, you know, where, if you go back in time as to when this started coming out of you, you know, what was going through you at that time and is still evolving, I suppose, within you to bring this out?
Ooh, that's a great question. Where to start? I guess when I started writing music, I was in my early 20s, so I was at in a time of sort of a rite of passage coming into my adulthood, and becoming aware of a lot of what was happening around me, socially, culturally, in seeing that with, you know, fresh eyes, And so I wanted a way to relate what I was experiencing personally within the midst of all that, and with, you know, also my own personal story and narrative and experiences that you know, had brought me to that point. And music was a creative outlet for that. It was a way to release and to heal, really. And through that ability to be able to do that creatively was very joyful. And so, you know, so much of the message, you know, in the music is to impart and to be able to empower people to come into their own power, their own truth, their own creative space to live more freely and to not be to come out of the sort of enculturated mindset of limitation. And there's so many layers to that. We have a lot of constructs that have been molded around us it can take a while to sort of break free and to come out of that shell. Really, the egoic shell is what we're talking about here. And so I feel at that time I was really breaking free from that shell. That's, you know, what I wanted to express was that feeling of transcending that.
It's interesting. I asked someone once, what was the evolutionary value of music? And they said, well, you get the girls. But, you know, since then, I was watching something about quantum physics and so forth, and the physicist likened the nature of man and the nature of the cosmos and energy was more like music. That was the thing that he could identify.
Beautiful.
That was most akin to whatever the waves and the things that are going through the universe is more like music than anything else. So I suddenly realized, okay, so that's why we're emitting music, because it's part of us, and we're basically channeling the energy of the cosmos.
Beautiful. I love that. I think that's perfect.
Yeah, that struck a chord with me. So have you
metaphorically?
Yeah. Well, it did. Yeah, there you go. Exactly. I think about that. How about if we put a tune on?
Sure.
What do you got you'd like to play?
Well, we had intended to bring over our latest live CD, but we were sort of running out the door at the last minute, couldn't find it. So what we're going to do is we're going to play a live song off of a live CD that we recorded back in 2010. And this would be the second track. This is Umbral Avenue. And I think it expresses a lot of the theme that we've been talking about.
Get that right. Let's try it again.
Night. Through the shadows, the dark.
tonight, the Seven Generations Radio Show, WSHC, The Voice of Shepherd. And I'm here with Jim and Ashley Cash of Woven Green, and that was their song entitled, what?
Umbral Avenue.
Umbral Avenue, live recording in Hoboken, New Jersey. Could you talk a little bit about that song?
Sure. I had, sometimes when I'm writing music, you know, I'll have the music part first, and then I'll be thinking of what the narrative of that is expressing to me lyrically, and so I'll try to create a theme that seems fitting to that. And sometimes I'll have a word just come to mind, and I may not even know what it means. And in this case, it was umbral avenue. The word umbral was circulating in my head, and I really didn't know exactly what it meant. I ended up looking it up, and I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting in lieu of the themes and archetypes that I was trying to express in the song about it being sort of the darkest point of the shadow. There's a lot of Native American theme in that song. And the chorus is sort of rebirthing. I'm trying to remember the choruses.
Through the shattered shards of time, gonna spin the threads for those walking blind.
Yeah.
Above dreamless states of mind, going to rise up from the ashes, taking flight.
Absolutely. It was one of those songs that came very easily. Sometimes certain creative process can be a labor, things might gestate and take a while to really fully develop. But this was one of those pieces that, when we introduced it to the band, it was just an immediate outpouring of creativity, and it just all came together within a very rather succinct time. And I remember that night after we had sort of put together the arrangement of it, we were all, kind of giddy and pleased with ourselves, such as the nature of releasing something like that. We were upstairs in the kitchen, and we were talking about it, and randomly, or I shouldn't say randomly, the clock that was hanging up on our wall just fell down and shattered all over the kitchen, and the glass had shattered. And so, we were all just sort of miffed that had happened, considering the lyrics.
It was a bit of a magical, mysterious
moment. the chorus again, through the shattered shards of time, and here the clock just flew off the wall and shattered all over the floor. So it was very serendipitous indeed. So it had that sort of magic quality to it.
That's cool when that happens.
I've
seen that sort of thing happen before, and you go, whoa.
Yeah, and we all did that. Even our former bass player, who wasn't really into all that, was a little, it gave him goosebumps too.
Yeah, it reminds me of a story, but I think I'll defer.
Sure.
Anyway, Ashley, we haven't heard much from you. We've only got a few more minutes because I've got some more guests going to talk about economics, West Virginia, and international. But I would like to hear a little more from you. Maybe you could go back a little bit in your history and talk about your musical roots. Of course, you're very big in the vocals. I mean, when did you start singing?
Oh, well, I think apparently, I hear this from my mom, I'm not sure, but I actually came out screaming. So I think that's a, I may have been doing this before, or at least in the womb, I don't know. I was apparently, very vocal as a, infant. But I do remember as a young child being... probably around the age of 5 or so, I remember running around the house a lot and making up, my own songs. And, I think children tend to do that, but I was particularly noisy about it. And you know, come to find out now that I'm an adult and I've, you know, recently gotten into different aspects of sound healing and, you know, opening up the voice for healing as well as performance, it sort of became clear to me that I've always been doing this. I've always been using sound as a natural way to clear emotion and to channel, you know, powerful feelings and thoughts. And so, you know, when I met Jim, it was a very powerful, you know, upwelling of convergence of our energies. And, you know, the stuff that he's tapping into in his writing, I'm very aligned with, and it naturally just helps to open up. So, you know, voice is a very powerful instrument in that way, you know, aside from, you know, the way it makes you feel to just simply tone and make sounds when, you know, outside of just being a musician and, you know, being polished and making sure you have great pitch and things, you know, these are very primordial parts of ourselves that, you know, the voice can help you unlock to just, you know, if you're upset, you know, go for it. Just make some noise, or, you know, get in the shower and, you know, scream it out or whatever. You'll be surprised how powerful that can be to actually release rather than hold, you know, onto that type of energy. So yeah, so I love singing, and I've just always enjoyed the magic of music and the storytelling aspect.
Maybe two more minutes, and I'd like to know what you're up to now, where you're going to be next. And obviously there's some things on YouTube. I mean, I know that you've got a number of songs up there. If you want to see Woven Green, pull down some music on YouTube and enjoy it. And catch him in concert. I know you all play over in Leesburg occasionally.
Yeah.
I've been over there to see your show, and it's wonderful.
Awesome.
So
thank
if you.
You
want to talk about
we have three shows this summer, but the one coming up that I think it might be of interest to everyone listening here is our concert on the 20th. We're actually doing an intimate acoustic evening, but the evening is themed around also a sound healing meditation that we're going to do first. So a lot of that's like an exploration of sound and, you know, centering, so that you can get yourself into a different space to listen to music. You know, we often listen to music as white noise in the background and, you know, don't necessarily tune in on the level that you can, you know, potentially receive more insight from yourself when you're listening. So we're doing this. We're doing, that's the 20th of July, and it's going to be in Chantilly. 7 to 9 p.m. You can also visit our website at wovengreenmusic.com to learn about that, and you can get links to tickets and registering and all that stuff. So again, that's July 20th in Chantilly, Virginia. And then we'll be playing at the Stop the Kaboom Festival, which we're very excited to be a part of, which is August 2nd is the date that we're playing. It's a Saturday. I believe we're on the stage around 5 o'clock. 5:30, sorry. Mm-hmm. So that will, I think the whole festival starts on Friday the 1st and goes all the way through to the 3rd of August as well. So, and that's here in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. Not remembering the exact town at the moment.
Is it Hedgesville?
Hedgesville,
yeah, it's in
Hedgesville. Yes, thank you. Good, yes, mm-hmm. Yes, at the Frisbee Golf Course, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and we really, really hope that, you know, we can get some fit people out there, especially those who are concerned about, you know, mountaintop removal and coal washing and, you know, all that's going down with the industry. You know, our friends Laura Stapleton and Alan Reisinger, they put a lot of work into, and I think John Suntiger, too, he's involved in that. They put a lot of work into and making this happen. I think this is the fourth or fifth time that this is an annual thing, so mm-hmm. A lot of really great bands are going to be there. And so, again, yeah, we're excited to be a part of that, and we have a song specifically about mountaintop removal called Moving Mountains, and again you can check that out. We've got a YouTube video of that that we did at the Tallyho Theater back last October.
Great, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
here.
You
thanks
and
for having
it's
us
great having you, and hope we'll get you back in here again.
Absolutely,
because a lot of fun. So have a good time on your next activities, and let's keep in touch.
All right.
Thank you.
Sounds great.
We'll keep playing your music.
All right.
Blessings.
Take care.
All right, I'll put some music on, and then we're going to switch gears, and we'll have our next guest will be coming in momentarily.